And he is a young man that has respected his mother and father all of his days. Didn't go out and sow his oats and get wild and decide to come back in. He has served God all of his life. He has honored his mother and father. In fact, his dad preached for us just a few months ago and just tore this place apart with the word of God. And Brother Beebe about a year ago or so preached for us. And I just think it's an honorable thing to see the Lord anoint dad and then go into the following generation and his sons and or his children, sons and daughters, live for God and serve God and work for the kingdom of the Lord. So we are thankful to have with us here today Evangelist Cole Beebe. Will you put your hands together and welcome him to this pulpit?
Now put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he the reason that you're here? He's the reason that we're alive. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Pastor said it's not Wednesday night, it's revival night. We ought to act like it's Sunday night. We ought to act like it's camp meeting. Jesus is in the place. Anything we need can happen. Anything we need will happen if we'll call on that name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord on revival night? Good, amen. As we get settled, I'm sorry. As we get settled, I'd just like to say a few things. Thank you so much for being here on Wednesday night. It's so good to see so many friends. Familiar faces. I can't wait to make more of your acquaintance. I'm so thankful to be with the Kyles. Brother Kyle, like he said, has known me my whole life. He's been a friend to my father, and anyone that's a friend to my dad is a friend to me because I got a good dad. Amen. I hear that my dad really blessed you when he was here, and I also hear that your pastor, I can't recall ever hearing Brother Kyle preach, but I hear that he is quite the preacher himself. Amen, amen. I said that to say this. Please don't compare me to either my father or your pastor. I'm still new at this. I've been preaching for quite a while to be as young as I am, but I would truly regret if I was compared to either of them. And so I'm just going to do what the Lord's told me to do, and we're going to have a good church tonight, all right? Now, about 11 o'clock this morning, I got to the church in Cooper City where I attend when I'm home, and I went to the prayer room, and I began to seek the Lord for what his perfect will for tonight was. And I thought I had it all figured out until I got to the platform tonight, and then the ping pong match began to take place, and I ended up where I had started. So this must be what the Lord wants for us tonight, amen? Now do me a favor. Will Sunday, would you promise that Sunday you're going to bring somebody to church that needs the Holy Ghost and needs to be baptized in Jesus' name? All right, that's good. That's great, because Sunday we're going to preach about salvation and the wonderful gift. And please do me a favor on Sunday. A lot of times you preach about salvation because that's what needs to be preached. And the church folks who've been saved a long, long time think this is something I've heard before, and they're not too excited about it. But I'm still excited about salvation. I'm still excited about the day that I went down in Jesus' name and the day that I was filled with the Holy Ghost for the very first time. I'm still thankful that the Lord heard my repentant cry and forgave me of my sins. And on Sunday, when we preach about that Acts 2:38 message, I think that all of us who experienced it a long time ago ought to still be excited, ought to still clap our hands, ought to still lift our hands and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul." And if you'll help me on Sunday by bringing somebody and then acting enthused about what we're preaching about, that'll be really appreciated. Amen. But tonight, I'm going to preach to the church. I'm going to preach to you, because you're the ones that are here. That makes sense, right? All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 19, verse 47. Once you get there, please stick your finger there and turn over to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Luke chapter 19 and Acts chapter 3. Again, I say it is our great privilege to be here. What a great church. We've looked forward to being here since the day we put it on the calendar. I'm so thankful that my wife is with me. If I do good tonight, it's totally because Jesus anointed me and because my wife was praying for me, and I know that. Luke chapter 19, verse 47 says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "and he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him." But let's take a close look at that first line. "And he taught daily in the temple." Jesus had a custom. Jesus made it his business to go to the church daily. "And he taught daily in the temple." What must it have been like to live in those times and to be at the temple when the Word of God, manifest in the flesh, began to teach about himself? My goodness, what must that have been like? I can imagine why the crowds followed him. It wasn't just for the miracles, but he could explain scripture and talk about things that nobody had ever heard before, because you see, he understood it in a way that no one else understood it. He understood it because he was talking about himself. And he taught daily in the temple. Acts chapter 3 says, familiar passage. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Amen. Why don't you put your Bibles down and put your hands together and clap your hands unto the Lord. Now lift your hands into heavenward and begin to talk to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. And we're asking right now that you'd move over this house. We know it's a Wednesday night, but it's revival night. And we're asking that you'd sweep through this place and somebody would receive something that maybe they didn't quite expect to receive. That something would happen that maybe they wouldn't quite anticipating, that you'd move in this place and you'd do something for someone tonight. You'd change someone's heart, you'd touch someone's life, and you'd minister to someone and they would never be the same again. Lord, help me to preach good. Help them to hear good. Help us to accomplish your will for this evening, for this revival. In your name we pray. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord? And you may be seated. Now, I know that these two portions of scripture seem very unrelated, almost as if the context could be difficult to understand how they could relate at all. But from reading these two portions of scripture, I come to a very perplexing question. Let me explain. There's this young man, this baby boy that's born. He's got gnarled and crippled legs. They're twisted all out of shape. The muscles are not growing correctly. And before long, the midwives, the medicine workers, whoever it may be, looks at his parents and with tears in their eyes pronounce that your son will never walk. He will never have a job. He will never support a family. He will most likely never be married. He'll never have children. If this is your only child, the family name dies with him because he can't walk. In our terms today, he'd be a paraplegic. He's paralyzed from the waist down. He can't walk. So from his mother's womb, probably as long as he was old enough to protect himself and survive on his own, he had been carried to the gate Beautiful, where he sat there in his feeble, broken down condition on his bed, with his cup in hand, and he asked
for alms every day. This would be his lot in life from the time that he began this ritual until the day he died. He would go to the house of the Lord, and all he would do is ask for alms. He would just ask for the crumbs, for the leftovers, the pieces that nobody really needed or really wanted. That would be his lot in life. He would just get enough to get by, to survive until tomorrow. This goes on for years. We don't know how long because the scripture doesn't tell us how old he is, but it does refer to him as a man, so apparently his bar mitzvah had passed, so he's at least a teenager or a young adult, but it's possible that he was in his 30s or 40s. Maybe he was in his 50s. We don't know. But what we do know is that he had been there day after day, year after year, decades maybe. He had sat there. He had decided, this is my lot in life. This is what I will receive. Now, if you find yourself in that perplexing situation, he did choose a pretty good place to sit. If I did think that I was never going to be able to walk again, I was never going to have a job, at least I would get to the house of God and hear the great singing and worshiping. I would hear the preaching. I would let my soul rejoice, even if only my spirit could do the dancing for me. I would not let myself die in a condition away from God. I would say, take me to the house of God. That's where I want to be. If all I can receive is alms and crumbs, it's better than sitting on some corner, some street corner away from the presence of the Lord. If there's going to be singing and dancing, if there's going to be worship, if there's going to be preaching, if the scriptures are going to be read, take me as close as I can get. So daily he makes his journey. A friend, maybe mom, maybe dad, cousins, uncles, maybe they would have to find someone, hire out the job for someone to come and get them up on their shoulders, get him in a wagon, carry him down to the Gate Beautiful where he would sit. They would lay his bed and he would ask for alms. This goes on and on. And then a man comes on the scene. His name is Jesus. I wonder if this crippled man, if this lame man was sitting at the gate when a 12-year-old Jesus entered into the temple and began to confound the wise men with his knowledge of the scripture. I wonder if he remembered and thought of him often. I remember that boy that came in here. He was like no other boy. He had knowledge that no man even has. How is it that this, I wonder what he will be when he grows. I'm sure he'll be a great rabbi. I look forward to the day that he comes back by. And then he begins to hear the stories. Jesus is back in town. And people are following him. Many, hundreds even, are following him. And the scripture says daily he enters the temple. So oftentimes, every day, possibly, Jesus walks by this crippled man. He passes him by, and the crowds, the throngs of people are following him into the temple to hear his preaching and his teaching. And he must have rejoiced. That's him. I remember him when he was just a boy. And look, he's grown into everything I thought he would be, and he's back. There was excitement in the streets. People followed Jesus. People were so excited about Jesus, and I'm sure he began to look forward to when Jesus would come by and the people would follow him. It was exciting. It was like something that had never happened before. And then he hears that Jesus is at a party, a wedding even, and they've run out of wine, which is terrible for this party host, and they come to Jesus, and the story spreads after this wedding like wildfire through the streets of Israel, and people are saying, hey, you know, 400 years ago there were prophets and there were men of God and miracles, but we haven't seen anything like that in a long time. But remember Jesus, the one that the crowds follow? He was at this wedding the other day and he turned the water into wine. There's another miracle worker amongst us. The 400 years have come to an end. There is a miracle worker walking walking on the streets of Israel, in the streets of Jerusalem. And I wonder if this young man's heart leapt in him and thought, there is a miracle worker amongst us once more. I had given up hope for a miracle worker. I had given up hope for a chance. But now Jesus is working miracles. And the people are talking about it. And people are going, were you there? Did you see the water? Did you drink of the wine that was better than the wine that they started the party with? Jesus is a miracle worker. Or maybe it was the second miracle that Jesus performed. The people of Canaan, Galilee, where he had been for that wedding, are in an uproar over what Jesus has done. There's talk of a miracle worker in their presence. And we find in John chapter 4, a royal official of the city allows his faith to rise at the telling of this miracle worker. Now he goes to Jesus, and the Bible says he begs him, saying, come and heal my son, for he lay dying. And all Jesus has to do is speak the word, And servants come running. He's healed. He's delivered. His affliction is gone. His sickness is gone. All Jesus has to do is speak the word. Now he's more than just a miracle worker. Now he's a healer. It's not just parlor tricks that he managed to pull over. No, now he's healing the sick. He is ministering to the hearts of people. He's changing lives that will never be the same. And I wonder if the man at the gate beautiful says, no, he's more than a miracle worker. He is a healer. And that gives me hope for tomorrow. How many of you know Jesus is still a healer? How many of you know Jesus can still set you free of any affliction, can still pick you up and turn you around and fix your broken heart and take away cancer and heal your body and take away diabetes? He's still a healer. If you've ever been healed by the power of Jesus, you ought to wave your hand. Let it be a testimony of your faith unto the Lord. I know you're a healer. I know you're a deliverer. You did it for me. Now he goes to Jesus. And surely the heart of this paraplegic leaps inside of him at the gate. He thinks he's not only a miracle worker. He's not confined to turning water into wine. He's not confined to anything. He can heal. And maybe tomorrow when he comes, because I know he's coming to the temple, and when he comes by, just maybe he'll have a healing for me. So the way our minds would logically progress, we would all assume that the very next time Jesus walked by, this young man would cry out. But we see him in Acts, long after Jesus has ascended into heaven, still sitting at the gate. Maybe he was confused. Maybe he thought, Jesus is just a worker of sicknesses. This is beyond sickness. I was born this way. Maybe he believed some sin or my parents' wretched past has put me in this situation. There's no way I can ever get out of this. Jesus would never heal me. But then he hears another story. Four men take their lame friend. They load him on a cart, and they go to a house full of people. It's so full they can't even get to Jesus. And so they climb on the rooftop, and they begin to tear back the flax, and they wrap him in ropes and lower him down. And Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven you. Take up thy bed and walk. And the house of people that were so crammed, they must have spilled out into the streets. Did you just see what I saw? He came in on a bed, but he walked out on his feet. He came in needing help, but he walked out under his own strength. Did you see what I saw? And the people began to tell each other, Jesus has done it again. He's a healer again. He saved that man. Now he can walk. Now he can work. Now he can have a family. He's changed his whole life. And surely the message got to the man at the gate. And he thought, he heals the lame. He heals crippled legs. If you read the scripture, you'll find that many lame men were healed by Jesus. But for some reason, this man still sitting at the gate. I'm sure at times he worked up the courage. The next time Jesus comes by, I'll call out. The next time he comes by, I'll say something. But when he came to the temple, there was a big crowd. There were hundreds. He was swarmed there. It would be embarrassing. It would be shameful. And it just was too much to ask. And then a tragic thing happens. Just like it always seems to happen, he probably had just worked up enough courage and had determined in his heart that the next time Jesus comes by, I will call out. But he begins to hear people in the street clamoring and saying, "Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, 'Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up.' Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, 'Before Abraham, I am.' That's blasphemy. That's a lie. He can't say those kinds of things." And the young man begins to be discouraged. He thinks, "Oh no, Jesus has got to come by at least one more time. I got to have one more chance. There's no way that this could happen. Not now. I have decided. I have determined. I cannot lose." And then to his great dismay, he begins to hear them shouting, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Crucify him." And it seems now that it is too late. All hope is lost. He had determined in his heart, but he waited too long. His opportunity is gone. He will forevermore sit at the gate beautiful. An insult has been added to injury because he knows, "I could have been healed, but I chose not to." And why would he do this? Logically, we ask, what would allow him to do this? But how many times have we made our way to the temple over and over again, knowing that Jesus is going to walk by, but we left the same way that we came? We left with a broken heart. We left with a wounded spirit. We left with ailments in our bodies and brokenness in our spirit. And we let him come and we let him go. And we determined this time will be different. But we just continue over and over asking for alms. Just enough. Just enough to get me from Wednesday to Sunday. Just enough to get me from youth camp to youth congress. Just enough to get me from men's conference to camp meeting. Just enough to get me from ladies' conference to camp meeting. And we never ask for what the Lord has in store for us. But I would say on this first night of revival, the Lord is looking down on you and he sent a young preacher to say, "I will give you whatever you ask me for. I can do for you whatever you'll believe me for. I know you didn't expect a lot. I know it was just come and ask for alms. But the Lord is saying, you can have more tonight. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be set free." Clap your hands unto the Lord. I know that he knew Jesus was a healer. The scripture tells us of 9 lepers that Jesus healed, and they went to show themselves to the priest. He must have been sitting at the gate as 9 lepers began to leap and joyously run into the temple saying, "Jesus healed me. Jesus saved me. I can go back to my family. My marriage can be saved. My heart has been touched. I'm not a leper anymore." And he must have known, but he's lost his chance. Jesus is gone. All hope is lost. And as I'm preaching tonight, you may be thinking, "That sounds like me. I've waited too long. He's passed by me so many times. Surely my opportunity is past. Surely he can't have anything for me." That's what that man must have felt. Jesus is gone. Jesus was resurrected, and I'm sure for a moment he thought, "Now my chances back, but Jesus never works one miracle after his resurrection. He never heals another blinded eye. He never picks somebody up off their deathbed again, not after his resurrection. Look in the scripture, you'll find it. So he thinks all hope is lost. And he's still sitting at the gate, beautiful. And he must have determined, this is just going to have to be what it's all about for me. I'll just get to church. I'll hear the singing. I'll hear the preaching. It'll be good. I'll feel real good after I leave. I'll get enough to get me by. I'll be back tomorrow, and I'll get just enough to get me by again. I'll survive. It'll be okay. I could have had a miracle. I could have had anointing. I could have been changed. I could have been delivered. But now I'll just settle for the crumbs. I'll just settle for the change. It'll just be enough. I'll just survive. I'll just make it by. And on this day he sees Peter and John coming, and he must have thought, I remember when they came with Jesus. Oh, I should have said something. I should have cried out. Peter and John, they can't do nothing for me. What he does not know is on the day of Pentecost, there was about 3,120 that were filled with the presence of Jesus. And now they're walking through the streets doing greater works than Jesus had done himself. And he doesn't realize it when he turns and looks with misty eyes and says, alms, that he is looking at one more chance. He's looking at one more opportunity in the face of a Jesus-filled apostle. And he says, alms. And they say, I know you came here out of tradition. I know you came here looking for what you always came for. But you've got an unexpected miracle coming your way right now. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk. You might not have expected much. You might have thought we'll come clock in and clock out. But Jesus is saying, not tonight. Tonight there's a miracle for you. Tonight there's an answer for you. Tonight there's deliverance for you. Tonight there's salvation for you. You can have whatever you want. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to wait till pastor preaches again. You can have it tonight. You can be delivered tonight. You can be healed tonight. Don't lose hope. Jesus has not passed you by for the last time. He's here and he's saying, come unto me. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Jesus, I don't just want crumbs. Jesus, I don't just want alms. I want you. I want more of you, Lord. I don't want just enough to get me to Sunday, but Lord, fill my cup until it overflows. My heart pants after you like the deer that pants after the water brook. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I don't want you to pass me by not one more time without me crying out and saying, Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, save me. I think we ought to make it a practice to never come into the house of God and leave unchanged. To never come into the house of God and let him walk past us without touching us. We ought to look for every opportunity we can to say, Lord, touch me, heal me, deliver me, work on me, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Help me to worship better. Help me to praise better. Help me to love better. I don't just want alms. I don't just want the little. I want it all. But so many times we determine what we're going to get from God before we even get to the service. We think to ourselves, I know he's a healer, but that's for somewhere else. That happens on the mission field. That don't happen here. I know he's a deliverer, but that used to happen. They tell me stories about drunk men when I was a kid. I don't remember this, but I've heard stories about drunk men coming in the back doors of a church begin to make their way down an altar, and tears begin to stream down their face. And by the time they get to the altar, they've been sobered up, and they throw their hands in the air, and the preacher lays hands on them, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And if I'm not careful, I'll begin to make excuses and say that kind of thing just doesn't happen anymore. That kind of thing is for a bygone day. But Jesus is saying, no, it's not for a bygone day. Miracles are still happening. Anointing is still flowing. Preachers are still preaching the truth. People still love God. You can have anything you need. You can have anything you want. You can be changed. You can be delivered. You can be set free. You can be turned around. I'm going to hurry to a close. I have more notes, but I feel like I need to get to where it needs to go. You may be thinking, but this man had a divinely appointed time with those two apostles. That was his time. He was at the right place at the right time, and that worked out for him. And of course, you never go wrong with being in the church. You never go wrong with being at the temple. But I do not believe, not for one moment, that had he worked up the courage and cried out to Jesus as he walked by, Jesus would have looked at him and said, hey, you be quiet. Your day's coming, but it's not today. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus denies somebody a miracle. He tried. He tried once. The Syrophoenician woman comes and begins to beg to heal my daughter. And he says, hey, this is not for the dogs. And she says, but even the, and something begins to well up in him and says, hey, when one of my children wants something from me, I cannot deny them. I know this is not her time. She has a divinely appointed time, but I've got to step out of her time and begin to work for her. I don't believe that he would have denied him. No, not for one minute, not for one moment. So what could he have done differently? What could he have done that would have gotten him healed before that day that Peter and John walked by him? There's another story about a man who had been sick for quite some time, maybe since birth, we don't know. His name is Bartimaeus. And this is the key for you getting what you want tonight. I believe that if you're sick in your body, I believe that if you need salvation, I believe if you have a broken heart or a messed up mind or any of those things, God has a plan for you. But if you want that plan to be fulfilled tonight, there is a way. There is an opportunity for you tonight. And here's the key. Blind Bartimaeus is a lot like this lame man. He's sitting there and Jesus is passing by. And there's a crowd of people. And he could have been discouraged as well. But here's the key. Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they turn and look at him and say, Bartimaeus, be quiet. And all of the worries that the lame man have present themselves to Bartimaeus. But the scripture says, and he cried the more louder. And he said, no, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus begins to look around. Who's crying out to me? He had passed him by, but somebody is crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, before long, is looking face to face with Bartimaeus and begins to ask him. Notice, he doesn't walk up to him and just heal him. He says, what would you have me do for you? And tonight I believe that if you get hungry for Jesus, you get hungry for more of him, and you stand to your feet and lift your hands upward and you begin to cry out to the Lord, Jesus, have mercy on me. Stop by me. I'm here. I want you, and I want you right now. I don't want to wait till Sunday. I don't want to wait till next week. I don't want to wait until next revival. I need you right now. I believe Jesus would stop by. He'd look you in the eyes, and he'd say, what can I do for you? I feel the Lord in this place. I got lots more notes. I could preach for another 20 minutes. But the Lord is walking by somebody tonight. And he's saying, why don't you call out to me? Why don't you speak to me? Why don't you ask what you will and it shall be done? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. The Lord is here for you. Hey, maybe everybody doesn't want a miracle. Maybe everybody doesn't need a miracle. Maybe you've given up hope. Maybe you said an alms are just enough. It's Wednesday night. I'll just take an alms. But Jesus is saying you don't have to settle for less. You don't have to give up at the alms. You don't have to just stop with the crumbs. You can have anything you want. What would you have me do for you? What would you have me do for you? What would you have me do for you? He'll do it. You can be forgiven. Just ask. You can be washed clean. Just believe. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just seek the Lord. You can be healed. Just pray. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I know it's Wednesday night. I know it's just tradition to come and go. I know it's just easy for me to clock in and clock out. But Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't pass by me one more time. Don't leave me one more time. I need you tonight. I can't leave this place the same way I came. I'm sick in my body. I'm sick in my mind. I have a broken heart. I have a broken spirit. I need you, Jesus. You don't have to settle for crumbs. You don't have to settle for less. He wants to give you all you can handle. He wants to pour out a blessing. Thank you, church. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Now, maybe you don't fit into that category. Maybe everything's going well for you. Then that means you're like Peter and John. It's your job to come find somebody and take them by the hand and lead them to what you have. Tell them, I don't have silver and gold, but I got Jesus. Maybe you don't need prayer. Maybe you don't need anointing. Maybe you don't need covering, but you can go be a Peter to someone. You can be a John to someone. You can say, what I have, you can have. What has changed me can change you. If you're a visitor here tonight and you came looking for traditional church I don't have, but such as I have, give I unto you. The Spirit of God is here. Deliverance is here. Salvation is here. Only believe. Only believe. You can have anything you want. The musicians would come if they'd prepare to play. Keep worshiping the Lord. He's going to stop by you. He's not going to pass you by. Make sure he hears you tonight. Make sure he knows you're there. Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. Don't pass me by. Don't walk past me tonight. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Ask what you will and it shall be done. He's walking by. He's walking by. Reach out and touch the Lord. The old song says it like this. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, all your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes high. Oh, reach out Don't let him pass you by. Don't let him wander by you. The Bible says that the disciples were in a boat and Jesus would have passed them by. Don't let him pass you by. But let a spirit of Bartimaeus rise up in you and say, today is my day. Sunday I'll come with victory on my lips. Sunday I'll come with a dance on my step. I'll be ready for more. I don't just want crumbs. I don't just want coins. I don't just want homes. I want you, Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
And touch the Lord
as he
goes by.
He's
here. Anything you need, he's the answer. He's the answer. Won't you reach out?
Reach out and touch the Lord.
Touch the Lord
as he
goes
by.
Reach out
and touch the Lord as he
goes. Come on, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, cry out to the Lord. I don't want
to
leave the same way I came.
I
don't want to leave the same way I came. I don't want to leave empty-handed. I know it's just a Wednesday night, but how many Wednesday nights will pass with you in your same condition?
Reach out and touch the Lord.
You don't know when your next opportunity will be. You don't know when your last opportunity will be.
Touch the Lord.
But you can have anything you need. You will find
him.
He's not too busy. No, no,
no. To be your heart's bride. He is passing by this Lord.
Walking through that gate. Don't let him walk by you again. Don't let him pass you by again. Oh Lord, I'm reaching out.
As he goes by, reach out and touch the Lord. As he goes by,
brokenhearted. Do you want more of Jesus? I don't think the crumbs are enough. I don't think that the coins are enough. I think he wants to overflow you. Come on, young man. The Lord wants to pour out an anointing on you. He wants to pour out the anointing that your pastor has. If you won't settle for crumbs, if you won't settle for alms, if you won't settle for the little and the minuscule, don't settle for just enough. Don't settle for just the pieces. Don't settle for just the parcels. Get all you want. Get all you need. Toss that sign that says alms on it away. Somebody ought to get a new mentality that says I can have more. I didn't expect a lot today. I just thought I'd get enough to get me through. I thought I'd just get enough to get me by. But the Lord's saying, toss that cup to the side. Take up your bed and walk. Go on. Walk, walk. Walk into your promise. Walk into your blessing. Walk into your salvation.
Reaching for God in the name of Jesus. Church, what we need is here. Evangelist Cole saying that if we would just be at the gate, God would not tell us no. If we will search for him with all of our hearts, the Bible says that he will be found of us. Hallelujah. All he needs for us to do is to seek for him and to search for him, to be hungry for him. Hallelujah. He's desiring a hungry heart. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord go to and fro in the earth, to show himself strong to those whose heart is perfect toward him. We are looking forward to Sunday in the name of Jesus, another day of another time of revival. Evangelist Cole will be with us. He said if we could bring someone else out with us on Sunday, he would appreciate it. So let's try with all of our might to bring a neighbor, bring a friend, our loved one. Pastor Cal said bring an enemy if you like. Bring somebody to church on Sunday. Are we going to try to do that church on Sunday? Come on, clap your hands if you're going to try to bring somebody with you on Sunday to church and to receive this great message.